It's not possible. You cannot come from 24 points behind with 6:26 remaining in a game. That's what I thought. Wrong. UWM did it over Wright State earlier this week. Joining us now is head coach Pat Baldwin. Pat, good afternoon. Congratulations.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. It's great to be on with you guys.
You were a great player at Northwestern. I don't believe in your lifetime you've ever seen a team come from 24 down with 6:26 left. Am I correct?
You are correct, and there's some. I've had some comebacks, but nothing like that. So it was great to get it done this time of the year for sure.
I just got one question, Coach. How? That doesn't even seem possible when you think. I've seen a lot of basketball.
They were on an 8-0 stretch, so with 4:59 left, they had it down to 16.
Yeah, I mean, how did it happen that quickly?
Yes.
You know, I'm still trying to figure that out, but everything had to work out perfectly, from us getting stops to them missing whatever to us making plays and creating turnovers. And it all came together. You know, our guys got hot at the right time. I think we made 11 threes total in the game, and a lot of it came during that stretch. We forced 20 turnovers. And a lot of it came during that time as well. So whether it was us or Wright State, you know, it had to be a perfect mix of great plays and mistakes on Wright State's part in order to help us get to where we are right now.
And, I mean, obviously being down 24 at that point in the game, it's like, oh, okay, you know, we're going to desperation mode. We're going to trap. We're going to, you know, try to turn them over and do all that stuff. But there had to become a point where you guys said, you know what, we might have them.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Coach Baldwin will be honest, because they're doing it, but I don't think we're going to win.
There's always a point where players are like, we got these dudes. These dudes are scared.
We could win.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, you know, we talked about benchmarks and where we want to get to at certain times on the floor. And, Tony, you've been there before where you're trying to, hey, let's cut it down to 10 with 4 minutes. Let's get it down to 6 with this much time. And we were talking about that throughout the huddle as coaches. And then our players started talking about it, and we started, okay, there's buy-in, all right? They're believing in the things that we're doing, and it's the leadership of our guys in doing that as well. And then I think it got cut to 12. And then that's when our guys said, you know what, we've been here before, and we had more time than we had against even Cleveland State. So there was that desperation in that moment where we felt like, all right, let's try to make this run again, knowing how difficult it would be against a very good team like Wright State, who rarely makes any mistakes. They have a lot of veteran guys. They have great ball handling and all of that stuff. But it just happened that I think around that point, and then, you know, Tijon made a three that brought it to within 7, either 7 or 5. And I was like, we might have them on the ropes here.
Have them on the ropes. Well, you hit the last two threes. They're up by 4. They're up by 4, and you made a 3 to cut it to 1. They make 2 free throws, and then you made another 3 to get it into overtime, correct?
That is correct. And, you know, I was watching the NCAA championship game between North Carolina and Villanova maybe about 2 or 3 days ago, and we run a similar play to what Villanova ran. And I was running it wrong, though, according to how they did it. And so we made the adjustment to do it the way that Villanova ran it. And not that it was perfect, but it ended up that way. So luckily we were watching film of some old championship games.
Talking with UWM head coach Pat Baldwin, and I would emphasize, to me, as impressive as winning was that you had to beat them in overtime. I mean, you're down by 24 with 6:26 left. All right, you tie the game, but you had to beat them again in a 5-minute period.
Yeah, typically that takes a lot out of you when you have to come back from that far. Yeah. And then if you get to overtime, it's like, oh, you'd rather win that in regulation to get it over with. So you guys had to muster up energy again for overtime.
Yeah, you know, our guys were riding high too during that time, so I felt like we had momentum, so it was great. The only challenge was, as we got into overtime, we were down 4. in overtime. And DeAndre made a three to cut it to one, and then we made some more plays in order to take the lead. So there are a lot of things that happened. We got some crucial steals and turnovers against them, and we made some plays and hit some free throws when we needed to. So it was the perfect storm in order to get this win.
And I don't know how you feel on this, but coaches will not foul you. They were up three, and you had the ball. They could have fouled you in the final few seconds of regulation and chose not to, and you made the three. It doesn't seem that coaches, even though this occurs, not all the time, but often enough, there are still very few coaches that seem to be willing to foul when they're up three and the other team has the ball. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I know I'm on the side of fouling because we had a three overtime game against Western Michigan last year. And we had, in regulation, we didn't foul. And then we had a play called to foul and didn't. And they ended up tying the game and sending us to a third overtime. So I'm on the side of fouling and playing it out. And hopefully we make some free throws and not giving them a chance. And I told our staff before we went out back onto the floor, I told them, I think they're going to foul us and send us to the line. Luckily, they didn't. Maybe they were trying to and just didn't execute that, but I'm happy they didn't because Dre just had ice in his veins on that shot.
Years ago, Rick Majerus said that, and he got this maybe from the pro, he said that his number was like 4 seconds. If it's like down to that amount of time, is there an amount of time left where you would foul? As if there's 15, he's not going to do it. But if you're down to 5, 6, 7.
I'm right around 8 seconds.
8 seconds. Right.
And they have to be, if they're beyond half court before they get into the front court, I'm fouling before they get over half because who knows, they may try a 30-footer and you're trying to foul them at that point. So,
now, we can't figure out how you're only in the semis. You beat the number two. Cleveland's number one. Shouldn't that be to be the finals, or do I not have the seating right?
Well, because of the way that this year was with COVID and not everybody playing the same amount of games, the league, they reshuffled the way that it is. So the highest seed is playing the lowest remaining seed.
Oh, got it.
Not according to the bracket.
I couldn't understand. I go, you beat number two. Now you got to face number one.
Well, and I will admit, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is I saw your son play. I don't know if he was a freshman. And he showed such incredible maturity. I think he was the number one player in the country. And I said, you know what? I went on the show the next day and I said, that kid's going to play for his dad at UWM if he plays 1 year, just by how impressed I was on just how he carried himself.
It's an easy recruiting job there, too. Get your son.
And everybody said no, and they go, his dad won't want him. He'll tell him to go somewhere else. And I said, that's the kid who'll tell his dad, I'm playing for you. So I don't know where you go from that, but I just wanted to tell you, I've seen kids that were that highly, highly touted, and I was just in awe of how he just carried himself. So, is he going to play for his dad?
I'll let you talk to him. I think that's a $1 million question, and we wanted to do as parents is just parent him, and this is his dream. I've said that all along.
Yep.
That this is not about me. It's
and
not
it,
about
am I correct anyone. In saying that you have told him, look, don't go here for me. This is your decision. Am I even close to accurate on that?
You're in the ballpark.
All right. Well, that's
like I said, it's not about me. And I told him that. So, the biggest thing is that he follows where he wants to go, where he's going to be happy.
But your coach, did you got to recruit him? That's your coaching job.
Yeah. And I wish NCAA rules would allow me to speak a little bit more about that.
They can't stop you. You live with the guy. Too bad, NCAA.
I just stopped the fridge. That's all. I just stopped the fridge.
Well, hey, I hope you guys follow that performance up again. It's not going to be easy, but good luck.
And I'm not changing my position. That kid's the kind of kid with the integrity that he would play for his dad, whatever it was. So I'm not changing my position, and I'm not expecting you to have any comment whatsoever. But I'm sure you're proud of your son, regardless of his ability as a basketball player.
I'm so proud of him and my kids. And before I go, I want to say, Tony, congratulations to your alma mater for making it to state this year.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to be at the game Saturday.
Okay, good. Great.
Good luck, but I wouldn't try to get behind by 24 and 6:26 left again.
Yeah.
I concur.
All right. Thanks. Pat Baldwin, head coach at UWM.